Good afternoon and welcome to the Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, your drive time show buddies are here. So we're here until the hour of six. So if you're driving until the hour of six, don't worry, we got you. If you're driving beyond the hour of six, wish you all the best, all the best with the business and economic segment. Don't worry, they're going to be here to keep you company at the end of our show. But until then, you are going to spend this hour and 23 minutes in our company. And as always, we never disappoint. We always have one depressing topic to...
Nah, how much you can't use the word depressing?
Not depressing, one very economically...
uplifting, but rather also reality installing subject matter.
Economically kick in the behind type of topic. I'm sorry, I'm trying to hide it, but it's just kind of...
But this is actually one of those subject matters, Helmut, that it shows a lot of promise, but the promise is still in terms of how people want to participate.
Yeah, like an ordinary me on the ground.
Well, Helmut, you and I specifically, we technically won't, but we will somehow, indirectly, in a way.
Yeah,
specifically through broadcast media. Obviously, yes.
I mean, this is the part where I would, this is the part where I would go, please elaborate, but I'm not risking it on that.
Meaning, Amut, we will still be, in one case, at one stage, what was our other title last year? The Bad News Bears.
Uh-huh.
And at one stage was also Bad Cop, and sometimes Good Cop, Bad Cop. We will still be highlighting those particular developments because, in today's discussion, dear listeners, if you've seen our posts on social media, the aspect is based upon a report that was finished last year. Funny enough, Helmut, and this is the backstory that I have to, that the context I've got to give, even to the listeners, mm-hmm. how I came upon this report. I saw this report being highlighted by the GIZ, the German Development Corporation in Namibia. And they promoted this report on, Monday was a public holiday, on Tuesday. And I was like, what report is this? Why have I never seen this report? Or an event about this report? And then when I looked at, this is now the fact checking I also did. Mm-hmm. Did, for example, like us, Eagle FM and The Villager, did we speak about this report in our reports? Okay, there's no trace of this. So we did not also know about that this report was launched. I looked at other media, did they potentially? No one spoke about this report. There was just mention made by two local media houses that highlighted a study is commencing, but that will be factored into this report.
Okay, did you have any green hydrogen type of green hydrogen? Yeah, well, in case you are wondering what type of report it is. The report that was produced last year, like Dwight just pointed out, and that's on the green hydrogen, but more focused on localizing green industries in Namibia.
Exactly. It's actually a blueprint.
Just looking at it from an internal perspective in terms of, basically in terms of beneficiation.
Yeah.
Let's localize it. How can we localize it in terms of, beneficiation, in terms of skill-wise and supply chain and all the activities that will be carried out into producing the final product, which is, one of it being green energy emanating from the, green energy coming from the project.
Yeah.
But so, what's in it for me is basically the question, it's a less diplomatic way of putting the question around the entire report. What's in it for me as an ordinary Namibian? And I remember last year we had, was that around local content policy?
Yeah. Well, we've greatly spoken about local content. I mean, we did local content policy on itself.
Yeah.
And then the other one was beneficiation. Mm-hmm. And then we've spanned into every particular thing that looks like an industrial participatory aspect. We've highlighted the subject matter of local content policy and participation and beneficiation in each of those particular realms. For example, like with the automotive one, the one Namibia Lesotho is now trying to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you would also once again factor in that particular aspect because it's not just about job creation. And this is also the misalignment of things in most cases where people in Namibia, they approach a particular, let's for example, the new administration mm-hmm. under President Nandi Ndaitwah. Now, the first thing is, okay, what are the prospects for job creation? But Helmut, as I've said before, job creation can only come, the government can only do so much. The other side of job creation comes through from what the private sector sees in terms of value extraction, meaning what can they install in Namibia as an investor that then builds up things, you know, it makes things and it transfers value and it pays salaries and you've got this ecosystem running. The best thing that's on the pipeline is, for example, the green hydrogen programs in Namibia because you can literally see that blueprint. But in many cases, instead of people looking at the bigger play of things, for example, like saying, I know I don't have the expertise and skills to participate in making the green hydrogen, but maybe I can be the bricklayer laying a brick there. Now I know it. You know it. Right? But the discussion even is something of, do we have the skills that can be partnered up to things? Helmut, I got into another argument this morning. I have lovely arguments with my siblings and I love my siblings. Even though we have these particular discussions.
It's called being a sibling.
So today's edition of the Village E-Paper platform, we've got an article based upon the graduation processes that have been ongoing by the big three institutions of Namibia. One of them was having yesterday and today their session. Another one will come up, I think, in the coming weeks. Just look at the tallies of people being graduated. My sister came.
Remember, that's being, that's entering the job market.
Yeah. Now, yep. I am looking just at Namibia for Namibia's issues, for Namibia's problems.
Yeah.
But if you have to look at a country like India, Helmut, which is also a developing country.
Yeah.
A billion, 1.4 billion, and they graduate 15 million. Not this chump change 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 numbers. 15 million they pump
into the job market.
Into the job market. These are graduates released like that.
And the competition is fierce.
In the developing world, the competition is fierce. You look at South Africa that have student populations of 100,000. I mean, what's the one's name? The one that's the largest distance institute, UNISA.
UNISA, yeah.
I mean, UNISA's student population at 1 year, Helmut, was something like, it was past 50,000 or something like that. And it's no joke. It's literally no joke. At one stage, they had 370,000 students that they were catering for.
Is that locally or
they are distance.
Overall?
They are distance.
That's
and it says so on their own website, with over 400,000 students at the largest university.
Yeah, but we're contributing those numbers. There are a lot of people.
Yeah, Namibians also study there.
Yeah.
I've had siblings that also tapped into the education process of South Africa.
Yeah.
It's no joke. Hey, you come here to Namibia, a 10,000 here, a 3,000 there, a 5,000 at that one. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing, Helmut? But that's just on the education front of things. You see, I told you.
So that means the NSA must, you know, update the unemployment statistics because it's about to go up.
But what was the discussion of the labor force survey? The labor force survey took in potential new people
mm-hmm.
that want a job.
Yeah.
And up to 59. Legally in Namibia, you can work up to 65. Legally. It's only because the government started introducing that thing to sort of like fast track people who were closer to 59 and 60 to take their retirements pretty early. But then if we did that, the most basic and fundamental question that everybody has to ask here is, why does that particular rule not permeate not just through public sectors. Not just through public sectors, and I'm talking about broadly through everything, but also, for example, into things like political parties.
That's an interesting point.
That is an interesting legally binding discussion, because there are just as many people that are literally above 65 in parliament even to today, and they are pulling a salary.
Well,
even though it's just an associated through their political party, they're pulling a salary.
You remember when the Doge guys in the US started looking into Social Security and started, you know, and they started claiming that some of the guys that are claiming Social Security are above 300 years.
There was a guy, one guy that was literally 300 years come out, older than the United States. Yeah, how is that possible?
Yeah, at this point, you know that at this point we are just talking about, you know, a bunch of ghosts that are claiming Social Security from the afterlife.
Now,
that's a good point to make, but
that actually speaks about that there's fraud happening.
That is
fraud.
That's on the highest level. Yeah. But, for me, this is where I started looking, you know, with my limited economic understanding. This is where I started looking at, you know what? China is brilliant. Because China understands employment creation. They are sitting with 1.4 billion people. So you can imagine the pressure.
Mm.
So China understands employment creation, that if you want to create employment, participate in the supply chain.
Yes. But that is one of the remedies. The other remedy, Helmut, what people don't realize is that China stimulates a lot. What is stimulation? There's a lot of money. But here's the thing. If you stimulate, finish the project.
Oh, yeah, they're strict on that.
Otherwise, if you want the money, finish the project.
Some of those projects going on in China, if they were here, would have a lot of high-hanging bridges that are incomplete.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The reason why I'm bringing up the whole supply chain discussion is because one question that was asked by the New York Times that I think that was about a year or two ago was that, can the world build electric cars without China? Then they found out that, from mining to refinery to the, to the transportation of the product the final product of lithium being a lithium ion battery, for example. China is involved all throughout the supply chain.
There is a Chinese presence.
There is a Chinese presence somewhere in there.
Up to into here into, what? Taurus. No, not Taurus. Yeah, no, it's a Taurus. Where the lithium mine is.
Yeah. No. The whole allegations of illegal mining.
Up to Uis. That's where the Chinese are.
Yeah, so. Again, I think this is one of those biggest problems. Not with not with just Namibia, at least that I see. That's with the entire African continent. What we don't know is that every time we ship raw material, we're shipping jobs.
Yes.
We don't see that, but the irony now that I like about our politicians is, we are shipping raw material that are being processed and refined outside, therefore creating employment all pretty much all throughout the supply chain, all the way to the finished product. Now, the very same person that's allowing that to take place is going to take the podium and say, well, if you vote for me, I will create employment. Again, for the millionth time, the question I keep asking myself is, how
will you do that?
Yeah.
How will they do that?
And then our get out of jail free card that I have noticed for a couple of years now is police and NDF recruitment,
which is let me criticize that. Let me criticize that for now, because
just don't do it too much, because
not too much. You see, Helmut,
okay, please go bananas.
Do you know what's the fear, for example, with the events that happened now in Okahania?
Yeah.
Which not one journalist is talking about. Helmut, I've watched enough crime shows, enough crime documentaries. I am here filled with too much crime things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need to watch the thing, because I've literally got a sibling that will come and tell me crime stories. In a span of 2 weeks, a severe socially dividing, societally dividing activity took place, whereby four women, two of them girls, two of them slightly youngish women, lost their lives. My first immediate thoughts, I jumped to that this potentially can be a serial killer. Potentially.
Yeah.
The police has not pronounced themselves on anything. None of the particular media have approached this as a discussion of, is there something fundamentally wrong in Okahanya that potentially that there is such a type of a criminal popping up? I mean, I don't know if you remember the B1 Butcher.
Yeah, I have heard of that, but I don't remember the story.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had a few guys at home talking about the B1 Butcher.
So the B1 Butcher
was never arrested, I think.
Yeah, he was never arrested. The B1 Butcher preyed on ladies of the night.
Yeah.
Prostitutes.
Yeah.
The B1 Butcher created so much scare in Namibia, because Namibia does not know this.
Yeah.
That they literally flew, that NAMPOL at that stage literally flew in South African specialist police officers,
mm-hmm,
who deal in serial killer crimes. Crimes that potentially can look like a serial killer's crimes. At any time of day, at any time of the year, America at least has a serial killer operating.
Oh, they have the highest.
South Africa has also had recorded serial killer activities.
Yep.
There was a guy that just preyed on gay men. There was a guy that just preyed on colored women. There was a guy that just preyed on prostitutes. There was a guy that just preyed on, these street vendor ladies that go home.
Yeah. Late.
Late at night. They go home. There was a guy that preyed on ladies like that. At any time of this year, South Africa at least has a serial killer active also. Now, at no stage and no time do we approach this thing in the serious nature that it needs to be approached as that this potentially speaks towards certain kinds of societally damaging things that exist. I once watched a movie based upon the first Soviet police officer who literally identified the Soviet Union's first known serial killer. It was a movie. So the movie is obviously adapted from a real life figure and the work that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie, was pretty thought provoking, and it was a bunch of British actors. This guy had to fight the system. This one police officer, this one detective, he had to fight his superiors, because his superiors told him, that's a Western concept, that's a Western construct. Those are things that you'll just find in countries like the US and stuff like that. But even in the US, there's only one particular law enforcement agency that is adequately geared towards dealing with serial killers. And they invest in psychologists, they invest in anthropologists, they invest in other scientists that help them catch the person. Helmut, we don't understand that the moment you treat the police and the army like just a fishing trawler net, just go catch and come back. But we don't treat the police like the professional outfit it's supposed to be. We don't treat the army like the professional outfit it is supposed to be.
Equipped with the investigators.
You invest in technology. You attract the best talent. You attract the best of Namibians. You don't come here with jokes. I'm sick and tired of hearing that the police and the army has to be literally the go-to for appeasing a political narrative. It's not supposed to be that way. I think that even the generals in the army who would listening to this broadcast, and even the inspector general himself, they would nod their heads if I could see them. They would nod their heads in agreement because...
Yeah, this boy is talking sense.
Because everywhere, if you look at where the world is going, you can't show up with someone that can barely read English. who can barely read the manual for operating the tank. You want to put something like that in front of the, in driving the tank. That means that that person doesn't have a license to drive even. And many of us Namibians forget how important even the driver's license is. The driver's license, Helmut, is literally the make or break. If you want to know about a make or break economic item, it's a driver's license.
That is, here I come. Go on.
So, yes, it's a little bit of a frustration that I'm obviously highlighting, but I'm not indicating any emotion. The thing is just, it's a good point that you made, like you said. If a politician shows up and says, I will create jobs, and then they just throw a little bit of chump change to the army and the national, and the police.
You know, you guys recruit.
Okay, but please, please, please recruit, but only recruit from 18-year-olds to 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
But then you should see the people that are assisting NDF. Go see the military attaches from India, from Germany, from China, assisting the NDF. Those are not 18 or 15 year olds that cannot read or write, or they have an E symbol or a D symbol in English. These are guys that literally, Helmut, for you to be a fighter jet, you should have passed all your scientific subjects, plus mathematics, definitely plus English.
Well, you are literally a pilot.
Yes, Helmut. So, how do you want to give someone
a multi-billion dollar jet
to fly? And that person has an E in English. How do you want to do that in life?
I'll just teach them.
Okay, let me tell you another story now. I met a guy that worked at the Ministry of Labor. He's a former schoolmate from high school. We were both at St. Doris. And I bumped into him into this discussion. Remember when I went to this this Total Energies and Amcor presentation regarding the Venus oil well discussion?
Yeah.
So I thought that at 1 o'clock the true discussion would start just for me to get there, and they had these massive posters hanging there, and it's now a meet and greet discussion. I was like, what is this? So I get there and I bump into this old schoolmate.
Yeah.
Victor is his name. And I bump into Victor. Don't worry, Victor. I won't mention your surname. And he's pretty distinguishable. You'll be able to identify him pretty quickly, but I won't also describe it. And I spoke chat there with Victor, and Victor tells me, no, he left the public service and he pursued one of these exchange scholarships to China, and he went and studied, he went and did his master's in, public economic, something economic, but it has to do with public administration, mm-hmm. literally with the civil, with the public service. And I sat there, and we stood there chatting. He says, Dwight, you won't believe it, Dwight. I said, what is it? Dwight, all my lecturers there in China are like 26, 25, 23, and they've got PhDs. I told him, what? Do those people have any experience on their names? He said, no. But they are given the necessary provisions to reinvest back into the institution. So they get housing. I know someone that's currently on such a program still in China as well. A Namibian, yes. And they explained to me, no, but the pay is not that flashy, but the person is allowed to reach a specific academic level and to plow back into, to reinvest and to give their skills back to the institution to strengthen the research development, the knowledge base, the capacity development of the institution, and thus also you increase the notoriety. I know it's not a GTA game, where you've got that star, the star level of notoriety, but you increase the prominence of the institution. Now, if you go do that in the Namibian context, Helmut, there was a struggle, for example, my other alma mater, that's the university that I came from, where not many journalists had reached the master's level, let alone the honors level. By that time, some of them were already 30, 35. Even those that were 40, 45 and 50 years. And those guys from 40 to 55, at least, were looking at, pension, retirement, and, saying, auf Wiedersehen to the whole industry. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
We don't have that capacity in Namibia, and the capacity is not being displayed in the aspects of even, for example, the implementing agencies on the ground to help strengthen things. So, I know I've just said a lot now, but when you look at it, fundamentally, we can't treat the police and the NDF like a fishing trawler's net. Just throw the net and grab anything that's there.
You know, it's the easiest way to make a political point look like it was a success.
Yeah, and it's a bit narcissistic. I'm really sorry. It's a bit narcissistic.
Because you are running around during a campaign and telling people that you'll be creating employment, but all the legislation and the activities involved, especially in the extractive industry. And our economy is very heavily reliant on the extractive industry.
Exactly.
The base of our economy is one that could be creating jobs, but is the one that we are very good at shipping out. And now, again, this is where, this is where I look at China and understand that, okay, you know what, if you want to build an economy, what to do?
Yeah.
Because for a very long time, a lot of countries, you saw this with the Spanish, the Portuguese, the Romans, the model they had was, if you want to build your economy, subjugate others and then steal their resources.
Yeah. And then funnel all that resources.
To your home economy. Exactly. To you.
Yeah.
And that's how you develop.
Yeah. But here's the weird thing of things, Helmut. You know, there's this weird picture I love playing around, which actually is very scary. If you go and sit and think to yourself, what would Namibia have looked like if the First and the Second World War never happened?
Oh, dear.
And we were still a German colonial possession.
Again, oh, dear.
I would not be sitting here.
Again, oh, dear.
I really would not be in existence, Albert.
Even more, oh, dear.
Yeah. So when you go and look at the economic systems that existed, and for example, like this discussion today of... Oh, sorry guys, if you guys didn't hear me, I've been told that my voice was too low. But it seems like my voice was not as low, which is also another puzzling one.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we look at the economic systems that existed, for example, in this discussion also for today, Helmut, this report on the localization of the green industrialization process, but we've got an ad.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have a capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something the media will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A minute past the hour of 5, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
And welcome once again, dear listeners.
Valentius Maximus.
Yeah, of course. We have to be like that, Helmut. Specifically on this lovely Friday. Well, it's bare knuckle boxing, actually. You know, there's no boxing. It's bare knuckle boxing. Comes from a famous movie term. But yeah, but the point I left
localization.
Off, yeah, the point I left at just before the break. Look at the localization thing. And this particular localization report. So they have focus sectors that they obviously incorporate into this discussion. It's not just purely about green hydrogen development.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, for example, the green iron production, which we now know of. It's aspects of literally the critical raw materials, lithium and rare earth elements.
Yeah.
it's another comp, and there's another sector of looking at power infrastructure. So it has this broad-based ecosystem-wide analysis, this specific report, that highlights where you can have economic stimulation taking place. Now, remember what I said earlier, Helmut.
Yeah.
What does China do? And you mentioned, which is the action you see on the ground, mm-hmm. is at every stage you've got local content policy participation,
yeah.
that leads to local beneficiation. This is literally the blueprint in this, I keep forgetting this. It's, what's this overall, report's name? The report on localizing green industries in Namibia. So it speaks about an industrial blueprint. This particular subject matter should explain to every Namibian that you will have an infrastructure participation. Let's see. How do you have a background in being a construction worker before that? Or at, you know, in terms of participation? Because there will be cement being thrown somewhere, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
A brick will be thrown somewhere. Literally. Another one is railway infrastructure development. Which is key because it also forms part of the overall transport network and transportation of the green products.
Yeah.
Now, come and tell me, do you have a background in this? There will be some sort of scenario for, especially for welders and engineers. Yes, and especially maybe for some technical skill sets coming through from the VTCs. Yes, there we go. We know what to do there. Another one, for example, the specialization of lithium and the rare earth minerals. Now, rare earth elements, that is where we've got to understand what's actually going on there. Because just like the ECB told some of the independent power producers last year at the one of the public presentations last year, the one I was at, mm-hmm. that we had the discussion here, where they told that one trip, that one IPP guy, do you have battery technology? No, I don't. So how do you wish NamPower to buy electricity from you if you can't store it?
That means you can only sell it during the day when you are making it. So they have got to be there exactly. at your convenience.
Exactly. And there's so many industries that pull so much electricity that are on during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
But when the rest of the country, meaning residential uses, for example, want electricity, they need to pull it from somewhere else as well.
Yeah.
Now, the trade-off would have been lovely if you had your battery storage capacity. For example, like a farmer is also supposed to have a storage facility when he harvests his crops. You must store it somewhere. So if you're harvesting something, you must be able to store the thing. Helmut, you can't show up with half a thing. It's not for example, like you owned Neckartal Dam.
Mm-hmm.
Now the dam runs full, but you're the only one with a tap. Now you want to sell the tap water. Now you want to sell the water through the tap to what's his name? To NamPower, but your tap can't close.
Oh dear.
Your tap is just running. Your tap can't close.
Well, in that case, then you're just going to run out of water.
No, you're going to sit with waste. You're wasting water.
Yeah, lots of it.
Yeah.
And the guy who is supplying it to you, if you're talking about solar energy, then that guy is either the sun or the big guy in the sky, depending on which idea you subscribe to. But
big guy in the sky?
But the example of water, NAM water is going to be there the bills are this high, can you pay it? But for the meantime that we are waiting for you to pay, we're going to have to close that, to shut you out from the main supply.
No, Hamut, think about my example as you are supplying NAM water.
No. Yeah, just the waste part.
Yeah, and your tap cannot close. But you are the one sitting with Neckartal Dam, but you can't close the tap.
You are flooded, like literally.
Yeah, but you also don't want to call the plumber to come fix your tap. And there is literally a specialist plumber that can come and fix your tap. But you still don't want to spend that money to at least build to the future. Because you and I know that any other project on solar panels in the world that look at solar energy production,
mm-hmm.
they've incorporated battery storage technology. Now, if you've incorporated battery storage technology, That ultimately means one of two things. Specifically, that the technology allows whoever is producing to share the whoever is producing to have or to store up or to build up the resource, have it on demand and release it into the grid. Now, are you telling me that that independent power producer sitting on his farm wherever or in which village wherever has not looked at a holistic picture of ensuring that their infrastructure gives them the best return on investment with the right investment decisions they make? Because you can't say, okay, now I'm putting up the solar panel. Yeah. Do you have a storage facility? No, I'm just supplying my house. Then I would have said, okay, fine. But if you put up a solar panel, but your house is connected to the NAM power grid, and then I'm going to ask you, do you have a storage facility? No. And then I'm going to ask you, don't waste your money.
Okay, but how do you plan on supplying, take for example, energy to an institution like NAMPA without first figuring out all the, without, you know, dotting all those I's and crossing all those T's? Because that would be your first starting point.
Market research. That would be your first start. And that's the thing that NAMPA keeps telling everybody when they try to become IPPs. Come and talk to us first. Because they also have to give some sort of a approval.
Yeah.
Come and talk to us so that they know what you want to add to this discussion.
Look, that's me looking at a lady I'm interested in, and I'm going to get her number and then show up there and then, you know, talk to her, and then she's like, okay, give me your phone so I can put in my number. And I go, well, I didn't come with it. Like, what?
Why does that sound like the famous Craig David song that I used to like?
I'm not sure if it sounds
Monday. Take you on a date on Tuesday. That's how the song flows. But the music video literally speaks about the guy first he forgets his watch.
Oh dear.
And then the girl sees him and she asks for time. He looks at his wrist and there's no watch, and he goes like, ah, and she goes like, ah, you missed that. You really missed that. And so the same day keeps repeating. And then he fixes all the mistakes. So he has positive outcomes instead of negative outcomes. But like you and I know, you know, life is life. You know, you hit here or you miss there. You go on with your life.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But look, when it comes to, how do you even call yourself an independent power producer? If you have not figured out where you are going to, green energy generation is one that's actually heavily financed by a lot of developed countries. So the financing is a little, is a little easier to access compared to the non-green forms of energy.
Yeah.
And when you look at it from there, the first thing, you know, that would be, I swear, like one of the, and I'm not an engineer or anything, but like that's the first thing to think of. If I'm going to produce electricity, not for domestic use, but I want to commercialize it by selling it to, and market that's already open out there, by the way. And I have acquired all these solar panels. The next question would be, okay, where do I store it? If you are going to, you know, if you are going to produce some kind, you know, fruits, for example, you know that, if you don't have a cool storage, they're gonna spoil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't just say, I'll produce 50 hectares of tomatoes without first figuring out how you're gonna keep them fresh from your farm to the, you know, to someone's stable, because they will have to exchange a lot of hands.
And you know what some of the particular issues as well. For example, when people have to do their market research, Amon.
Market research. We are big at that.
No, I will use that term because it's easier for me.
Yeah.
For example, let's use your tomato reference. Have you heard of a term known as infected soil?
No, I haven't.
So there are some fruits and vegetables that underground insects, parasitic insects.
Yeah.
Well, for them, you are giving them Christmas. To you, it's a headache because you thought the soil was fine in your backyard.
Yeah.
There's an issue specifically when it comes to crop cultivation. We also don't generate enough knowledge about if you endeavor as a communal farmer, as a subsistence farmer, as a commercial farmer into crops, you've got to know what's wrong with your soil, how can you treat the soil, and ultimately, how do you get the best output for what you invest in, specifically in crop cultivation. I mean, Helmut, at one stage, I saw my sister trying to plant potatoes. I'm sorry for laughing. But when she went and inspected like 3 weeks later, because she was wondering, why is there not even a sprout or anything showing? There was literally a vacuum where the potato was in the soil. And there were all these creepy crawlies just crawling away. You know, it's like the criminal, they're walking slowly away from the scene of the crime.
The crime scene.
Just going like, no, you didn't see me. You did not see me. But we saw you walk away. We saw you commit everything.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's one of those situations where you don't want to run because it will look suspicious.
Yeah, also, but your walk is also suspicious because you keep looking back like, no, it's not me. It's not me. Don't look at me.
Please don't see me. Don't see me. Don't see
look
me.
At me.
But it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the discussion of market research has to become imperative. For example, this particular report is literally about market research, but it is so broad. I now see the broadness of it. I mean, I've been to most of the particular media presentations that the Green Hydrogen Program and the other particular stakeholders in this project have conducted before. But to look at this particular report in the view or through the lens of, look at how this will participate in the Namibian economy. They break it up. Iron production. Yep. They break it up into electricity infrastructure.
A carbon border adjustment.
No. You are still far. We're still far. Put CBAM at the end of everything, Amut.
They have that somewhere. Yeah, way to the end.
Yeah. So what they're talking about first here is ecosystem installation. Imagine that. Remember that library school thing. But let's first take the ad break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Oyo mnangeshefa no ahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuru olongaha ningekwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konora hetatu imwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano that is 0817147116 mamberewa konora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 16 past the hour of 5. So, market research.
So, when you look at this particular report, and it's a report, dear listeners, which is actually funny. Before the break, the point that I wanted to make about ecosystem installation in terms of how big this endeavor is, Helmut, is literally, imagine the librarian and archivist's discussion for the schools that we had last year. Now, imagine it in the scenario where you did not have the school.
And you want to figure out where to put the librarian?
Yes. So now you have to talk about
and this is not just any ordinary library that you want to install. This must be a school library.
This is for primary school or a high school library. So imagine now, you have to first go build the school.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to hire the teachers, hire the principal, hire the support administrative staff.
Make sure there are learners around that can attend that school.
Exactly. you need to make sure that there are other facilities pertaining towards, let's say, accommodation on the school premises mm-hmm. for the learners, and that there's other infrastructure like for sports, pursuing sports excellence in that school mm-hmm. also available with its support infrastructure. And then you've got to have a designated, properly designed piece of infrastructure for a library. And then you appoint a librarian.
The process you have to go through.
Do you see the long process I explained now? This is literally what this report highlights. The localization of it into Namibia is a mammoth task. It's literally the book that I read. Shan.
Also, you know, and also one thing that is, you know, pains me that, not really pains, that's, I think it's one of those very challenging tasks that the report points out, is the competition that we're facing. Because we are not the whole energy transition is something that's taking place globally.
Mm.
So green hydrogen is one of those first things to think of anyone that wants to transition from fossil fuel into greener ways of generating electricity.
Mm.
So that means, green energy is on every country's timetable.
Yeah.
So that means the competition again is fierce.
Yes.
So.
And it's gonna ramp up, ne?
Yeah, it takes us back to yesterday's discussion about creativity, where we started talking about the Nigerian guy who paints with fire.
Mm.
That, he knows that, painting is a very old tradition. It's yep. a very old way of doing things. Everyone wanted, oil on canvas, you know, paint
some
on canvas.
Some of them came up with water.
Water-based paints. And then he was like, okay, you know what? How about you come up with a whole new idea? Not, you know, still into the direction of painting,
mm.
but you just take, instead of canvas, a piece of wood.
Mm.
Instead of carving it, which will make you a sculptor, still in the creative, but
you
are outside of painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just take a piece of wood, instead of carving it up, just use a different form of drawing that have not been used, at least not one that I know of.
Mm.
And also one that is very intriguing.
Creative as well.
Very creative.
An attention aspect. Not attention seeking, but
attention to detail.
It's attention to detail, and it also, yes, there's a safety element also associated to it, but it actually so shows you the level of expertise of the person.
Yeah. Now, what that points to is, if we're gonna have to stand out, and if we are going to have to, to stand out, we must come up with some kind of enticing measures to, to prove to all, to all the consumers, all the customers, or possible customers out there, why they should choose us as their supplier.
Mm.
That is heavy. That's one heck of a heavy task.
No, it is. I mean, one of the particular subjects in this report is also offtake markets, which are key. Now remember, the nice thing that has happened here is that the EU, South Korea, Japan have literally signaled in MOUs of saying off-taking. Off-taking basically speaks of, if you produce, we would like to buy as well. So it's literally, Helmut, if you ever had a stock market about green hydrogen, those three MOUs alone would tell any person, any stock market in the world, the price has to go up. There's going to be value. There's going to be positive sentiment because you can literally see the activity of, here's it being produced. It's going to be transported here based upon these contracts to these markets. Set. The supply chain is set. The installation is, that's all that we have to patiently wait for. But the supply chain is set.
Yeah.
Now, we also just have to wait for the lovely thing of production. Because what people want to see is the trucks moving on the road. You want to see the nice LinkedIn posts, look at me working in green hydrogen or other stuff like that. I'm sorry, guys, for going into my Bugs Bunny voice kind of themes, themed voices.
Yeah. And also you don't just get anyone to, to drive a truck that's filled with a flammable stuff.
No, so a truck that's a small nuclear bomb.
Yeah, literally.
A small nuclear bomb.
Oh, no, this one is literally a hydrogen bomb. One wrong move.
It's a nuclear bomb, Elmer. H bomb is a nuclear bomb. Just look up. They first had the basic atomic bomb.
Yeah.
The Big Betty and the little sister, whatever, the two things that were dropped.
Yeah, little boy.
Yeah, and little boy, yeah. And then from that development, they went to H-bomb, hydrogen bomb development.
Someone figured out that if you just, heat water high enough, you can split the H from the two O's and then, make a concoction out of the H so that you can blow up as much people as, but I mean, we are creative when it comes to killing each other.
You atom split people.
Yeah.
You atom split people.
That's even more scary.
Do you know what vaporize is, Helmut?
Yeah. Basically being, it's like, the same thing that happens to water when you boil it. You can see that it's leaving the pot.
Yeah, it's condensation in a way.
It's just going.
it's an ugly process we're speaking about, dear listeners, but that's literally what the science does. So yes, Albert. Now, look at now the standards, the safety mechanisms, the safety protocols that have to be invested in.
Yeah.
For that truck driver to drive that truck.
Yeah.
So in essence, at every level, I'm seeing investment. At every level, I am happy because there is purposeful economic industrial investment taking place.
Yeah, but also, the bonus there is where the carbon border adjustment policy now comes in. Because if you are looking, anyone that supplies the EU market with any product or any service can source their energy from there, then they can basically tell the EU that, everything that we produce here, everything that we're supplying you with, we get our power or we get our energy from that institution and everything. So, and that's, your price of your product, is not going to be hit with some kind of carbon tariff.
But the tariffs still have to come.
Positively.
Obviously, they're in most now the second year.
Well, we know that tariffs, it pretty much depends on how crazy the guy in office is.
Yeah. But remember that carbon tariff discussion is one of a, it's one of a penalizing element in terms of, this is the standard you can try and meet it.
Yeah.
Or if you don't meet it, just know that
You can still supply us as a penalty.
Yeah, but you will still just suffer a penalty, which actually shows more collaboration than, for example, like the Wild West moves that Donald Trump tries to. Donald Trump tries to think, and this is another particular thing that not many commentators have highlighted. Donald Trump thinks running a country is like running his own backyard company.
You see, this is why I was saying the other day that
he can make moves in an economy internally.
Look, the irony of what you have going on in the White House is what I, that only came, it's just something that came to my head the other day, I think earlier on this week, where, if you look at the White House, it's literally filled by a bunch of guys who are billionaires. Now, you would assume that because they have that much money, running a country's economy should be a piece of cake.
Mm.
Except, boy, they are making types of mistakes. That's everyone, that's making, I'm sure, a lot of people like me going, okay, you know what? Having a lot of money doesn't mean you can manage a country's money.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's not that they don't know how to manage money. They're just not managing it on behalf of every American. Hence the accusations of insider trading.
Yep.
They know how to manage their money. And they know how to increase their money, but not to increase the country's economy or, on behalf of everyone that voted for them or every American citizen.
Mm.
Now, they don't do that. So it's not the knowledge of running, of making money that's lacking. It's just the, it's just the genuine dedication of making money for someone else but them. They don't have that at heart. So that's, that draws a very sad picture about, because everyone will believe that, okay, if you have a bunch of rich guys and you give them a country's economy, I'm sure they, I mean, they are rich. They are, you know, money is not something that's unique to them. So obviously they will do it properly. Except the, you know, the precedents they have set is that, you can be, you know, you can be a group of rich guys and still be terrible at managing a country's economy.
Mm.
And not because of lack of skills, just lack of interest into something that's, you know, that benefits others, not you. It's a very selfish, you know, it's a very selfish way of doing things. Now, oh dear, now the, my favorite part of this, market outlook, oh dear. Now, market outlook, the market outlook in this report points again back to the point that I made earlier. The competition.
Mm.
There are a lot of big economies. Egypt, South Africa, by the way, they're also investing in the very same type of investment. That's
Tanzania as well.
Tanzania, the US.
South Africa as well.
China.
Chile. Brazil.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like being told that you are walking in a boxing match. And this is not just any type of boxing, not Volelo and Gettlich type of boxing. Mm. This is UFC type boxing. I watched that match. It was my favorite. It's still my favorite to this day. But I enjoyed that match.
You know that boxing match would have flown over my head if you changed Gettlich's name to something else that I wouldn't have recognized. Who was it?
But that I, when I,
Gettlich, oh, wait, I, know, you, I remember that fight. You, I was like, oh my goodness.
You also watched that match?
No, I didn't.
Oh no, you missed a lot. You,
no, I didn't.
Namibia is a very good country to live in, believe me. Comedy wise, all you just have to do is look.
Yeah, just watch, just observe.
Oh, it was difficult to tell whether homeboy was trying to fight or swim on land. I mean, it's very
should
confusing.
Should I ask who you got? You were.
Please, I'm begging you, don't. Now, so.
What, you just might be invited to a boxing match?
Uh-huh. And, that'll be one heck of a boxing match. And I'm sure, I know your boss is, you know, is funny enough to try and sponsor that match. Now, one thing that. Okay. It's a good thing we have a breakup.
You know, we were on a serious move here.
Come on, we need a break.
Until you brought up that boxing match. But that is true. We could be taking a short break, dear listeners.
So when to beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names. And 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arno. It doesn't get more real than that. As Windhoek, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, but before we continue, let's take a live read.
This is Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. September intake 2025 with all programs that are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4, which is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Requirements are the NSSC ordinary or advanced subsidiary or equivalent levels with a minimum of 20 points in 6 subjects with a minimum F symbol in English. Or for the mature age entry, applicants must be 23 years or older with a minimum of 2 years relevant work experience in health sciences or related fields and must have obtained at least 10 points in the NSSC ordinary or higher levels. For the certificate for enrolled nurse, midwife or accoucheur, level 6, which is a 2 years full-time course available at the Windhoek, Inkurinkuru, Combat, Walvis, Katima Mulilu and Otapi campuses. Applicants should have the following requirements of fulfilling the, of having the NSSC ordinary or advanced subsidiary level or equivalent with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects with a minimum of a D symbol in English or the NSSCO or H levels or equivalent with a minimum of 22 points in 6 subjects with a minimum E symbol in English. Applicants should also have passed any 2 of the following subjects: biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, and development studies. Application period is from 1 May to 30 June 2025.
Welcome back. We have 27 minutes. Now, where was I?
You were still on the aspect No, not the boxing, please.
No, I wasn't going to say boxing.
Yeah.
I was on market outlook.
Yeah.
Market outlook. Yeah. There are a lot of, there are a few things that are pointed out into the market outlook discussion. One, one that led us to boxing, is the competition that we are looking at. Because if you look at the size of economies that we have to compete with in this type of investments, there are countries like obviously these are a lot of countries with bigger economies and bigger expertise level levels in terms of expertise and research and development and the subject. The question is, how are we going to make us stand out? Now, one way of, ask yourself, before the US dollar popped up as a dominant currency, there were a lot of currencies that were, small currencies that were basically, fight for dominance.
Small?
A lot. Oh no. Point of correction.
Hence the reason I asked, small?
They all died a natural death. And then the US just, stormed up as one of the dominant currency.
The dying part was not actually one of a natural scenario. Mm-hmm. It was more of a forced scenario because of the Second World War.
By design.
By design, yes. Yeah. For reason, Helmut, let me explain this to you. My mother told me once that they had a half cent. A tiki was, it's in Afrikaans, it was known as a tiki. It was literally half a cent.
I think.
How do you have half a 1 cent?
Oh no! The example I was about to give was one of a half a 50 cent, because Botswana still have that.
No, that's 25 cents. Yeah, 25 yeah, that cents. I know. But how do you have half of a 1 cent?
What do you use? Did they use that to buy something?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Man. My mom told me that they had that particular money or that particular level of currency representation.
Mm-hmm.
My dad obviously, expressed it way better because he could also explain it because he came from South Africa. And they had a shilling here in Namibia. Literally a shilling. Now a shilling is at a lower level before you get to a pound. The British currency. So which also shows you specifically that before the rand actually took hold in Namibia, there was also a very weird representation of the currency system in Namibia.
Yeah.
Now, yes, you highlighted that there were a lot of currencies in the world. And it also shows you primarily how those currencies competed against each other. You had the German mark. You had the French franc. You had the Spanish peso. Because the whole of South America has a peso. Except for, what's his name? Brazil has the real.
Because of Portuguese influence?
Yeah, but what Portugal had was, I think, the lira, the Portuguese lira.
Mm.
Because the Italians also had a lira. Do you see the differences in currency?
Yeah.
So what the EU just made everything easy for us. Because for trade for them was going to be crazy and insane. Obviously, you can see the insanity of trade between all these different currencies, which is the issue on the African continent, which is going to be one of the issues.
we will have to invest in a single currency.
You know, common one.
A common one for the
whole...
Yeah,
you can have yours, but if you want to do continental-wide trade, this is the one that we go to.
We don't want the stupid template that exists in ECOWAS, which made Nigeria very mad. The what's the franc's name? The African franc. The CF franc.
Oh, no.
That thing that's based upon...
The French Central Bank.
Yeah, the French... That's backed up by the euro. It's backed up by the euro. And it's a one-to-one. But it's an artificial representation because much of those reserves, the foreign exchange reserves of those... Of those African countries was in France. So all monetary policy came from France. Which once again highlighted the discussion of why no one understood what was happening in the French-speaking zone of Africa, because these guys were literally part of the French Republic, which is now currently in its sixth or fifth format. No one understands the French. Well, yeah, sure. But yeah, even though our modern-day representation of the Republic, the modern Republic system, comes from France. But anyway.
Yeah, that's a...
So, if you look at, like you said, Helmut, the other economies are going to be a thing.
Yeah.
But then you could say the same thing for oil. You could say the same thing for uranium. You could say the same thing for gold.
Yeah.
Diamonds.
So what are we going to do? You know, form up an OPEC, but for green hydrogen?
Potentially. But then who would be at the forefront of it? You probably see Germany sitting there. Chairing the
When you look at things from Namibia, it's very easy to look at EU countries like they're one happy unanimous block. But look, wherever you find a family, there's bound to be a few disagreements here and there. There is a lot of competition, especially in terms of energy.
Yeah.
Italy wants to dominate the energy sector. One, especially in the EU bloc, one that I think the boss in that department is most likely going to be France because of their nuclear dependency.
Yeah.
A lot of guys like Germany now because of their very, because of their very aggressive, energy transition policies, they left themselves with a lot of economic fallouts.
Mm.
Now, obviously, the competition part I was talking about is one that, which led us to the boxing example was, we are looking at these massive economic giants that we'll have to compete with.
Yeah.
And one of, then that brings us to the oil discussion. Okay. Oil again is, every time that we talk about oil, it's one of those very easy example to use in terms of why you should really invest in, in more parts of the supply chain than just waiting for some kind of levies of revenues that are funneled your way, in your tax coffers. That's because, I think, the NSSCO syllabus, grade 10 or grade 12, I think it's, grade 11 and 12, I think, grade 10 had the fractional distillation of, of air where you have oxygen boils at, I think at minus 183 degrees, oxygen boils out at this, and then they are collected for different applications.
Mm.
Now, the high school one had the fractional distillation of crude oil.
Mm.
Now, that was, that diagram is still stuck in my head. Because every time I think of it, I look at the byproduct that comes from one, the first thing that comes up is the reason why it's called crude oil, because it's multiple chemicals that with different, applications, into one GUI.
Mm.
Now, one, if you just processed it here, tar will come out of it for you to surface your roads. And you can branch out one area for you to make plastics and basically all the, byproduct that makes up, all the ingredients that makes up, that factors into clothes, bottle, plastic containers and everything that's made out of plastic.
Yep.
That comes from there. Kerosene, jet fuel, which is sometimes, I think it's one or the same thing. And they have diesel comes out of it, petrol comes out of it.
All the greases.
lubricants.
Yeah, lubricants.
Yeah.
Lubricant products.
The clean one, not the dirty ones. But, I'm sorry, it just came out. So, all the...
You should have just... It's okay. It's
Thank
okay.
you.
I mean, it's okay to kill him.
Yeah, well, all the lubricants, all those things come from just one product that's drilled. Well, natural gas, by the way.
Mm. No, that's the other product.
Yeah, that's a whole different product.
Yeah.
That's, you know, but naturally they are found in the same vicinity.
That too. Hence one of the reasons why the discussion of the gas to power that you and I did last year was one of a keen interest, highlighting, but we could have solved affordable electricity like light years ago.
Oh yeah, the Kudu gas.
Yeah, the Kudu gas project. Yeah. We could have solved gas to power light years ago.
And optimizing logistics cost. You know, the transport part the one that we glossed over earlier about the type of a truck driver you have to be to transport some of these things. LPG tankers, we have oil tankers floating all around, you know, transporting oil from one continent or one country to another.
Mm.
We also have LPG tankers. Now, those ones that transport, the product, products, for example, like hydrogen.
Mm.
First of all, those guys, anyone that works on that ship, they are highly paid.
Exactly, Helmut.
That's one. The second one is, if you are one of those people that are like, you know what, I have to smoke every now and then. Oh, that will be disqualifying.
No,
capital
no. No, they'll throw you in the sea.
Oh no. They are throwing, because if that thing goes kaboom.
Yeah, they'll throw you in the sea.
Yeah, if you just go online, you'll find one of those videos where they are inspecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the internal compartment, like the storage area. The level of accuracy involved in, not only, everything from the, how flat the surface is.
Mm.
One wrong move and that whole thing goes kaboom.
Mm.
And it's leveling everything in, maybe 2-3 kilometer radius. So, logistic, that's obviously on a tanker. So you can bet because they are dominating the green hydrogen project, you can bet the Germans have that covered.
Mm.
Now, transporting, and also if it's exploding, for example, for example, for a tanker, chances are very high it's somewhere in international waters. The damage is, unless there's a drilling oil rig somewhere close by and no one will be dumb enough to make, to give it a route close to an oil rig. But, what that goes to show you is that you're going to have to be one of those specialized truck drivers that transport things like sulfuric acid, dangerous chemicals.
Mm.
So having a license is not only, it's not going to cut it. So you also have to understand what is going on literally behind you.
Yeah.
Now, the optimizing, according to the report, optimizing of logistics cost. Logistics cost can occur at various points in the value chain. Once the, now this one is about iron. Once the iron is produced, factoring in transport cost to potential offtake markets is a smaller but nevertheless important part of the cost, of the cost stack.
Mm.
Now, what he is looking at here, what we are looking at here is basically the importance of having a supply chain close to the source of the mineral.
Yeah. No, it is always critical, Helmut. I mean, I remember when there wasn't Coca-Cola in 2014 for like 4 or 5 months. Do you know what was the reason why there wasn't, okay, not Coca-Cola. I'm lying. Point of correction. Don't worry, guys. It was certain particular Coca-Cola products. Do you know why? Because of a specific gas that is needed to be transported from South Africa to Namibia. Namibia doesn't produce this gas.
What type of gas is that? Oh, the one that's used as one of the ingredients.
Yes, one of the ingredients in making carbonated gulp, these products. That product has to be imported from South Africa.
It was in there.
They were running on slows on short supply because there was also heightened demand or something happened to one of the particular production plants of this gas.
Yeah.
And it was hampering supply into the economy of Namibia. And at that stage in 2014, Helmut, when I worked at that bottle store, which is here close by, you should have seen people that are being angry for McCain's. Not McCain's. What is the other product's name? Schweppes. The Schweppes. Mixer products. Like the dry lemon, lemonade, ginger ale, those little products.
Yeah.
Those little cans. Yeah. You should see people being angry if you tell them, no, we couldn't get this because we ordered, but we didn't get from the supply. You should have seen people, customers, consumers being mad at you for saying, no, we don't have this. Cause, and then you should see their frustration contort on their faces by saying, but every shop I go to doesn't have this. What is happening in the economy?
And then you
explain to them that there's a little bit of a hiccup in the supply of these particular products. Now, from that particular illustration, that real-world example that exists, and not many Namibians hear about these real-world examples, for example, that even happen like in the private sector. It is critical because there are some customers that really, they like the product. They will support the product. They will throw their money at it. Now, I'm talking about a finished good. We are talking about an industrial good that's here outside of the everyday usage that you and I potentially will use.
Yeah.
In both scenarios, Helmut, the aspect of supply chain and distribution capabilities are key.
Speaking of key priorities for Namibia. Oh, I'm loving this document.
This is a wonderful document.
Oh yeah. Given the opportunities and challenges described above for Namibia to establish a green iron value chain, transport being one of them, stakeholders need to convene and determine, determine the priorities next step in creating an environment in which first project can thrive and react, and reach feasibility, as testament to Namibia's potential.
Mm.
Now, let's go back to the, independent power producers and non-power.
Mm.
You produce electricity. Yes. Just look at how big my solar farm is.
Mm.
Now, where do you store the energy when the sun is not shining anymore? Well, the thing is, I don't have batteries. Now, that's one heck of a hiccup that every supplier will be like, okay, I'm going to be back when you sort that part out.
Yeah.
So, the same thing is being pointed out here that, a lot of things will have to be considered and make sure that, everything is done step by step and thoroughly to make sure that, to make sure that we don't end up with an excuse like, yes, I'm producing electricity, but I don't have batteries to store the electricity that's coming from the sun. Now, for green hydrogen and therefore green iron to be truly sustainable, as previously noted, it necessitates a reliable green power baseload.
And what is baseload, dear listeners? What's the other sentence that they sometimes use? But it's like a consistent foundation.
Start with hence reliable.
Yeah, because it needs to be the constant.
Reminds me of one conversation we had. I think that was here on it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was Mandume or Mlemba. You know, we're talking about sourcing produce from local farmers.
Mm.
Yeah. One of these gentlemen pointed out to me that these retail guys that we buy our stuff from have trust relationship with South African suppliers. If you are going to change their mind for them to switch from decades of trust that they have with their South African supplier to you, consistency is the first thing that they're looking for, because they don't want to cancel their contracts with their South African supplier. Only, 5 months down the line, you are telling them that you don't have the tomatoes. Now they have to go back and start back leaking to their
contract. And then be charged with a higher price.
Exactly. So, consistency.
Yeah.
A reliability.
Imagine it being your foundation of your house. That foundation,
you can't screw up.
That foundation can't break, can't be brittle, can't be weak. It needs to be a foundation, a base to build from.
Translation, whatever we do, we must make sure it doesn't end the Peugeot way. Because now you'll be like, okay, you know what, Zimbabwe, you can get green hydrogen from us. Zimbabwe will come, Zambia will come, and then take 5 years down the line, we'll be like,
there's no more.
There's no more.
We have to wait 3 months. You know, and then people was like, 3 months?
Coming back to our procurement laws, we'll have to, we'll have to wait for 5 months for this part to be flown in from Germany, to be shipped in from Germany.
And then someone has to press the button to pay the money, because we don't know who that guy is. That guy went on sick leave.
He's not on sick leave. He's from a different political party and he's not talking to a guy that he's supposed to be talking to for them to make this agreement move forward.
Yeah.
Don't you just love politics?
I hope the politics stay out of this. I really do. But yeah, I mean, even then, Helmut, the discussion obviously is one where many people also need to understand that what you and I technically are also basically sharing with our listeners is a whole manufacturing and distribution, whole manufacturing, supply chain, and distribution installation. So it's from start to finish. So it's literally from start to finish.
Yep.
Okay, not the finish where it ends up at the customer. No. Start to finish being transported out.
To the end consumer.
Well, the end consumer could be probably other economies. It can't be us.
Yeah.
It probably won't be us. But what people don't realize is that this is a manufacturing process.
Yep.
This is manufacturing something out of pure nothing.
Well, you're making it out of gas, so technically
you're making it out of seawater. Remember that they're going to be using water. You're making it out of water, a free resource sitting right there.
You are literally splitting atoms.
Hence the reason why people should be actually happy about this particular thing, because this is the first time you will be literally seeing science creating economic value for Namibia of such epic proportions that you can literally say Namibia landed on the moon. This is literal scientific engineering that Namibia has not seen before.
Knowledge sharing, advantage in terms of energy, in terms of clean energy acquisition.
Yeah. Manufacturing of products.
Yeah.
Products, not just the main product, but other products. And then we work from there. Now, I don't know if it's a question of, how does this particular subject matter look, but still, it's a manufacturing process which Namibia has very little actors in, which is very slow. And the reason with our discussion of yesterday of the gold discussion, remember what was the question we literally debunked at the start? A gold reserve has nothing to do in the modern day discussion with the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
But in historical times, in times past, the gold reserve was the gold standard for many countries back then, just not African countries.
Oh, well, it's a good thing it's a good thing you really helped me understand what a terrible idea a gold standard would be.
Yeah, gold standard. Helmut, I've watched so many things on the gold standard, and it is horrifying.
Yeah, and
horrifying if one company decides to buy up all the gold in your country.
Then you
and your whole country's money and the economy was based upon that gold, the existence of that gold.
No, which is why that's the part where I said the buying part is not going to be much of a concern, because no leader is just dumb enough to wake up one morning and sell all the gold and then cripple their own economy. But the heist part, that's a serious concern.
Yeah.
Because now Believe me, you wake up the next day, there was a heist at the Bank of Namibia, now 50% of your gold is gone.
Now 50% of your currency
is gone. Your currency is gone. Now you have to restructure and renegotiate each and every single agreement you have in terms of trade.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Africa Continental Free Trade Area. You will have to negotiate with all 54 plus states, some of them still debatable.
And then the other guys,
and they throw in the EU, throw in China, you will have to... The International Relations Ministry that day is going to have...
Yeah, the toilet paper...
It's not going to have a good day.
The toilet paper would be done by 1 o'clock, don't worry.
Ish.
Because they'll be working overtime that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the stress will be heavy that day, yeah. So, the particular subject matter here is the value of this manufacturing process will add substantial value into Namibia's economy. So what people need to look at is they need to look past the first phase, the phase of the language and the discussions that are taking place in front of them of, yes, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
500,000 jobs.
Yeah.
But the part of this discussion that, more like the part of this topic that keeps me, you know, sort of like, keep looking at China is that, when a lot of those American, American companies set up shop in most parts of Asia, a lot of, you can imagine a lot of Asians were having a discussions like that, like this. What's the benefit going to be for an ordinary Asian? But, one thing we have seen is that, a couple of decades down the line, we've seen that, the Asians actually have become experts. They have acquired an enormous amount of knowledge from a lot of, from how to assemble all these electronic components and how to, and also how to work this, your high-end textile, textile products. All that knowledge is all over Asia. So I think, that's one thing that, one of those major advantages that's going to come for us from a lot of these investments, one of them being a green hydrogen one, because it's going to, it takes off the ground and it's in operation.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the knowledge on how to, on how to do the practice is going to be one that is going to be prioritized by a lot of Namibian, high institutions in terms of academics or education. So that means everyone will be, looking into careers that ventures into.
So Vented Beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names. And 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Vintuk, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Six 6 o'clock on the dot. So the green hydrogen discussion is one that is a very interesting one, but I'm looking at it, personally, I'm looking at it from the angle of the skills over time that Namibians are going to benefit, the skills in the industry that Namibians are going to acquire. And they're going to come in handy from time to time, obviously. And I was, I was also looking at it in terms of clean energy, obviously, energy transition. That's also one goal. But, robbing Peter to pay Paul, we still have an oil investment going on. But that's something that we should look at it, at least from the angle of, it's a transition process. It's not going to take place in 24 hours. So I think we are, we're still safe in that department. Yeah. And, we're not the only one. So green hydrogen, local energy benefit. Okay. Local content policy is one of those things that's good. But do you think we are going to start talking about these things from a, we're going to start having this discussion from a technical, vocational school point of view?
But that's not a concern here, Helmut, because getting now into my bad cop zone. If we really have to address issues whereby an MSME owner is going to ask me, Dwight, what must I do for my business to survive, to lessen the time of potentially 5 years of business survival to the first 2 years, like the textbooks say? Because the textbooks sometimes are out of reality with what the reality in Namibia is.
Yeah, hence the Austrian School of Economics.
Which was also out of reality and out of touch with a lot of things. And I actually agree with the German economists in that, because they were the ones that gave those guys that name. So when we look at the discussion, Helmut, of, let's say, that involvement, the first question you've got to ask yourself is, firstly, how big will that industry be? Will it be one company operating in all zones and spheres of this discussion of,
you know, of industrial all constituencies? Investment. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, of industrial investment, it's going to make things difficult, because first and foremost, you will see that obviously these guys will deal with something known as cost management. So they'll manage costs to ensure that they achieve their deadlines and their outcomes.
Yeah.
Another scenario is, if an MSME is based in Windhoek, how will they benefit from if the activity is in Lüderitz? My first answer to that person would be, my bro, that's up to you. How you get there is up to you. You can't ask people to give you the answers. That's where the innovation comes. You have to innovate around your business processes.
Yeah.
So if you're trying, and I'm not going to use a Kapana seller, because that's just dumb using that. If you're going to be someone that wants to give real business value to another business person or to a consumer, let's, for example, say you are making printed t-shirts, you know, like that thing you're wearing. I'm not promoting, obviously, your hoodie.
Thanks.
But let's, for example, say it's something like that.
Yeah.
And it's a young person that works on the green hydrogen projects in Lüderitz. Now that person knows, okay, the retail experience is not there in Lüderitz, but I see something on a digital sales platform. You should be able to have the necessary invested in the necessary aspect of saying, I've got the t-shirts or the hoodie, order from me. The person orders, you can package it, send it to them. You've got the proof of payment. The money is in your bank account. The thing is successfully delivered. Voila, business happens. Helmut.
Yeah.
The innovation should not come from government.
Well, that's why we are waiting for it to come from and I'm not blaming us. I'm 50% blaming us for having that point of view.
That mentality.
Yeah. And I'm blaming also some of the government officials that seem to perpetuate that point of view.
Yeah.
The whole,
some of the opposition politicians.
Yeah.
Perpetuating that point of view. Because then we could have just said, okay, let the whole country be socialist. Let the government participate in every sphere of the economy, which they technically
Guys, I will create employment is now too old. Just come up with something different, please. First of all, there's something very wrong with that statement, I will create employment. Unless you are Thanos with all six Infinity Stones, it's not going to be very easy.
Where you can fast forward.
And you know, reverse,
forward and rewind.
Yeah, just don't erase everyone, because then, well, that's good.
Well, you can fast forward and rewind the whole time.
That power is too dangerous. King David is here. He's about to come and chase us out now.
Come on. But after we appropriated his 5 minutes, now he's trying to chase us out now.
All rise for King David to come and give us another chapter out of his 150 chapters of the Book of Psalms.
Yeah.
Bro was regretting for, you know, hitting on his,
yeah, David, tell him to stop.
Bro was regretting for hitting on his wife's friend. He had to write 150 chapters.
Well, on that note, Dylan, just enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, Monday from me.
Yeah, and on Sunday, you can catch me on my Sunday Morning Take. Stay tuned for the rest of your programming.
Oulium nangeshifa, noahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondo shipindi konora hetatu imwe heari imwe ne heari imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.